Aftershocks TV, we've got another really cool episode for everybody today as we're headed to Montreal, Canada, and joining us today from Metal Stalwarts, Luger, we've got bassist Frank joining us today. Frank, man, thanks for coming on, man. How you doing?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing pretty good, man. Thanks for having us on the show.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's get to it, Frank. I mean, Revelations of the Sacred Skull, it's out now on Heavy Psych Sounds Records. It's your guys' third release. Musically, you know, you guys definitely picked up where you left off from your last record, the EP Cosmic Horror, which was, you know, really metal-centric, but definitely some, I would say some sonic differences you got on the new record here. More of a punk sound, more a little bit more extra punk than what we heard on Cosmic Horror. Yeah. So start us off, Frank. Tell us, I mean, what did you guys set out to do musically on this record? Did you purposely want to add some of those punk elements, or was that just an organic thing that just came out when you guys were writing?
From my standpoint, I think it came out as organic, I'd say, because Jim is the one who writes most of the songs.
Okay.
And this record is the one that we put together the fastest, I'm pretty sure. Okay. Like, okay. Everything was written from scratch, maybe in less than a year, maybe 6-7 months, something like that. Okay. So the songs, they just kept coming. And I guess it was easier because there are a couple of shorter songs on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The EP is a pretty, the previous EP is pretty long, even though it's like 4 songs.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in the range of like 6-7-8 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Well, I mean, you guys, like I said, you've got 3 releases out now, and you know, when I go back and I was listening, obviously, to, you know, especially the debut release, you know, Hellraisers of the Waste. I mean, you can really see the progression that you guys have done. I mean, it's sort of like almost on each record, you guys sort of add like 2 to 3 like different elements or different sort of subgenres of rock, you know, from one record to the next. Like, for instance, you know, Cosmic, obviously, Horror had, you know, a real, like, I hear like a lot of, you know, new wave of British heavy metal, for instance, in a lot of those songs, and some, of course, some psychedelic you know, parts in those songs as well. And then, as I was saying, on the new record, you've got, you know, punk elements, you've got like death rock elements in there, and even with guitar, there's some sort of psycho rockabilly sort of little guitar in some of those songs. Yeah. Which is cool, because what's really cool is it all really works, though. You know, a lot of times when people try to do that, it sounds forced. But with you guys, it really all just comes together naturally and fits really well under the umbrella of Luger there. So, I mean, again, is that, do you guys consciously do that from record to record and try to, like, just so it doesn't sound the same, I guess? Did you try to incorporate new sounds?
I think we're lucky to be able to pull it off, because I don't think, we're lucky, yeah, because we kind of set out to do the music that we want to do without really, without caring about any boundaries, to be honest. So it's nice that we get that compliment, you know, like from you and from other people too, that tell us that we can, you know, that we actually pull off this genre mashup deal without sounding like a cover band set list or something like that.
Yeah, no, definitely. You guys definitely pull it off. I mean, like I said, it sounds natural. It doesn't sound like you're forcing things in there. So I think that's one of the unique things about your guys' sound, which is really cool. So yeah, so let's get to the first single from the album, Frank, Motor City Hellcats. You know, when I listened to that song, obviously I read that the track itself is sort of an ode to the heroes of the 60s and 70s Detroit rock and roll scene.
Yeah.
Yes. Talk about a little bit about the inspiration for that track and really what you guys were trying to really pay homage to in terms of that scene from, you know, that's obviously where rock and roll sort of started from. So
I can't speak for Jim. He's the one who writes the lyrics.
Okay.
But it brings back one memory for me, because when we were, we used to work together in a pawn shop. And we'd listen to music all day, doing long shifts and stuff. And I remember a specific period, maybe in the last year we worked there, Jim just went on a binge of like listening to Ted Nugent every day, and like everything from Detroit would have been in the playlist at that moment. So he might have. For me at least, I think it's got to have something to do with that phase.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a really, you know, good song too. I really dig that song, and of course, Yeah. And of course, you know, your newest single, which also is your guys' first video from the record as well, Black Acid. I mean, what a song that just kind of sticks, you know, I mean, sticks in your head. It just doesn't go away. It's really catchy. It's got those, as I was mentioning earlier, a little bit of that rockabilly guitar, little licks in there. But it's just a really a good old ass kicking heavy metal punk sort of track in the same vein, you know, as a Motorhead type of song. So, yeah, I mean, so talk a little bit about Black Acid and what made you guys go with that song for the first video as well?
I think I can't say for sure again, but I'm it would be Jim's style to have like pictured the whole music video and then went the other way and written the song for it purposely. So he probably had an image in mind and then kind of blew that up. And that was a really fun one to write. I think it I can't remember if we wrote it like second or third. But it was in like the earlier songs that we were demoing at the time when we were preparing that record. And I remember liking the riff like from the start and having I'm like, whoa, finally I get to showcase a little punk rock bass guitar playing in there.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it's really just got that sort of Motorhead-ish, you know, good, what a blend of metal and punk together. I mean, just great lead guitar in that as well. I love the way the song finishes too. You know, it's like, you know, it's like you guys are playing it live, which I love, you know.
And we were actually, yeah. The whole thing was tracked live in the studio minus doing, you know, like vocals and guitar solos as overdubs and maybe a second rhythm guitar.
Okay.
So all of them were done like that. It was actually a pretty nice studio. Like we learned from our mistakes. Like every record is better because we, I guess, have better tools and, you know, better contacts and better staff to work with us. Mm-hmm. And when we recorded it, we were like in, you know, like sound isolation booths, but they had glass windows. So we could actually watch each other the same way we usually do when we're playing out or like just rehearsing. But, you know, with the added... you know, the bonus of having a separation for the mics and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that ending, like it's the way it is. I was watching Hugo through the glass and watching for his cue and like, we didn't have to edit that.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell, obviously, like I said, when I was listening to it, I'm like, wow, it just is like, it's like a live song on, which is great. I mean, I love that. I mean, the more that kind of stuff, the better, you know,
it's something we really want to showcase like in our sound. I think I read an interview recently with Jason Decay of Cauldron, mm-hmm. and he was saying the same thing, and I relate to that big time. Like a lot of bands now get kind of fall in the trap of like over editing and correcting mistakes, and then I'm just going to move this kick drum here, it'll be fine, I'll just do it this time, like one last beer, you know.
Yeah,
that never works out. And we all have the same tools. We all have the same YouTube videos to learn from. So we all end up sounding the same. You have to know what you have to learn, or like accept the when to stop and just leave it the way it is, or play it better. And if you run out of time, that's what it is. That's how records were made before. So,
yeah, no, you're right. Good point. I mean, and you're right. Sometimes, you know, it is difficult just to say, okay, stop. It's done. It's good enough. You know, instead of trying to tweak every little thing. And then like you said, it's like a domino effect. You tweak one thing, it affects another thing. So it's
And then the guitar sounds wrong and you got to do it again, and then it's just like it ends up sounding like a very nice demo.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like you aren't done with the idea. This one was I think was my favorite one to do, honestly, to record. Okay. I mean, and even to write, because we got to like to listen to the songs a lot. We got to focus a lot because it was like during the last couple of months of COVID, or last year, I think. Okay. We weren't playing any shows, weren't distracted with anything else. So we had a lot of focus and a lot of time on our hands to do that. Even though we were just doing like, we were getting together maybe once a week, not even, sometimes once every 2 weeks or whatever. But point being, when we did hit the studio, we were ready. So every song, like I think the most takes we did for one song was maybe four takes, maybe five, pushing it. So
okay,
we did the whole thing in like 3 days, or like 2.5 days if I want to brag. But we were ready. We had the luxury to do that this time, and it was a great experience.
Awesome, man. Yeah, no, great, man. So you know, Frank, just now, I'm looking back at the band's history. I know that the band's been around, I believe, I was reading, for about 10 years now.
Yeah,
you guys started back in 2013, right? Yeah, I mean, and now you signed to one of the best underground heavy rock labels on the globe, and Heavy Psych Sounds. And so obviously it, you know, these days, obviously it takes, you know, that amount of time to really get noticed and signed to, you know, to a label. I mean, you got to obviously build up your fan base and you locally and, you know, show these labels that obviously you're a band that's going to stick around for a while. But like I said, now you're a band, you guys are really starting to take hold of metal, you know, and music, you know, just heavy music fans in general across the globe. And in years past, you know, if you were a band being around for 10 years, I mean, you were still going to be considered, you know, you'd be known as like, oh, this is a veteran old band. Where now, 10 years, it's like you're just getting started. It's like you're considered sort of a new and up and coming band, right? Just simply because just the way the industry is, right? So,
And I think a part of that is because, well, I don't know, we're exposed to so much now. Like, I mean, the whole world is in front of me on my computer. So, you aren't just competing locally, or I'd say even comparing, whatever. You really do have to have something special to offer, and you know, you might you know, like lightning in a bottle. Some bands have it, like on their first album or like first try, you could say. Mm-hmm. But then you still have to learn how to deliver, how to perform, how to get your stuff organized, and learn about all the other stuff that makes you do that allows you to do the thing and get mm-hmm. out there and play mm-hmm. live and make it all work.
Yeah. So, I mean, with you guys, I mean, like you said, I mean, is it, talk a little bit about, I guess, the resiliency and really the resolve that the band has had to sort of endure to get to this point now, you know, 10 years, 3 records, and the fact that you just get it started. I mean, do you feel like now the band is just locked, you know, really tight and locked in, you know, more so than you ever have, and really, you know, you're ready to really just take hold of what's this opportunity now, being on Heavy Psych Sounds? Yeah. And everyone,
I
now
could say that. Yeah, and that's the first for us. Like, we had no idea it was going to go through and out. Like, we were lucky that they, you know, they picked up on the project, but we had tried before, like, without an answer, or with some answers sometimes, but like, oh, like, guys, it's really good, but we're already busy or this and that. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, by this point, we're used to doing it the way we always have been. So, there's a learning curve there. Mm-hmm. Definitely, there's stuff I have to figure out to see what's gonna be next. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. You were talking about where do we get the energy to kind of.
Yeah, just to resolve. Yeah, the patience, really. I mean, you know, 10 years to get to this point. That's all. You know, bands, if they don't make it, you know, first 5 or 6 years, they don't really do much. Usually see them sort of maybe looking at other opportunities.
It depends on what you're after. I know. True. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of we're passionate about music and about playing in general. So if it wasn't this band, there'd be another one, and we'd be busy playing music or like doing some, like pursuing some sort of creative endeavor. Can you say that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Project. Mm-hmm. So we kind of all agreed to put it into this one. I have another band too. I have Jim has another band as well now, but we're all, you know, we're all well, like into our 30s. Sure. Our drummer has a child now, but we're still making space for that in our lives. It's not like I haven't made it, I'm gonna hang it mm-hmm. up, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. We're lucky it has grown though. And we have made moves to make it happen. So it's a nice opportunity to be able to kind of, you could say, like, enjoy like a new chapter and something that we haven't tried yet. Because mm-hmm. we've been around like locally and, you know, in the province mm-hmm. a bunch. But we haven't been outside of Canada ever, like, or maybe one time, but, you know, that would be an exception. Mm-hmm. Not enough to mention. Never been to Europe yet, so we'll see. Like, if we get a chance to do it, definitely, yeah.
Fantastic, yeah. No, great. Now let's talk about, you said locally, let's talk about, you know, Montreal. I mean, we're hearing some really great stuff coming out of Montreal the last, you know, I'd say a good 5 years or so. I mean, Hazy Tones, Sons of Arrakis. I mean, just some great bands coming out of your town there,
yeah,
of your
Sons
city.
Sons of Arrakis are playing tonight. I'm actually going to see them.
Oh, really?
Once we hang up.
Wow, good for you, man. Lucky guy, man. Amazing band, man. They really are. The scene just seems to be really burgeoning, you know, in your city there. And what I really enjoy about it too is that the bands, all these bands I'm hearing from there, they don't sound anything like each other, right? Everyone really has their own sort of unique sound. You obviously see a big difference between Sons of Arrakis and Luger. And so it's not like in Montreal, it's not like there's this concentrated, you know, most scenes will have sort of a concentrated kind of sound where a lot of bands just kind of coalesce around and it becomes kind of known for, you know, that sort of style or subgenre of rock or metal. But like I said, Montreal, it's just a little bit of everything there. And it's just...
Everything. Yeah. You nailed it there. Like, it's very diverse. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, having lived here maybe 9 years now, you end up knowing a lot of the people that are in the scene. I mean, this isn't LA. Like, mm-hmm. How could I say that? You have, even if you haven't met everybody, you have an idea of like who's who and what they're doing. And I think that puts you in a perspective and puts you in a place where you have to make choices creatively. Like you're gonna try as hard to sound not like the other bands that you know, and And we, some of us end up knowing each other pretty well too. Like I used to play music with Fred from Sons of Arrakis.
Oh, okay, okay.
And their bass player used to play with Jim in Luger in another band prior, like years back. So in that scene, at least, like in, you know, you could say like stoner rock, heavy metal kind of. In that part of the scene, like a lot of us need to know each other. So we know what's up.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you do. Yeah, no doubt, Frank. Well, I mean, now, so you got two singles out now. Obviously, you said Black Acid just came out. Is there anything else in the works now for, you know, releasing another single or video? Or are you guys going to maybe now focus on maybe, like you said, possibly touring if you've got some opportunities, whether it's festivals or maybe just even, you know, certain parts of, you know, maybe northern U.S. or some places you haven't played before? What's sort of the plan now going forward for the band?
As far as the big gigs, you know, the new ones for us, like going to the States and Europe and stuff, we have some homework to do.
Okay.
Because we never considered doing it before. So like visas, passports, and such.
All that stuff.
But yeah. Like if we can get our stuff lined up, it'd be great to try it out. It'd be really fun. Otherwise, I don't think we have any other releases planned per se. Like the album has been out officially since February 10. And we haven't played like a release party yet because Jim has to work a lot during the winter. It doesn't fit well, so we're going to do that later in May, actually May 13th at the Disco Griff here in Montreal.
Okay.
And then we have a few shows lined up for the spring, but after that it's kind of we're gonna have to make plans for the fall maybe and see what's up, see what's up.
Sure. Well, I hope you guys do
about it at the same time. Like I really do have to get on that. I said it like a week ago. So
yeah. Well, I mean, I really hope you guys do, you know, get out there. I mean, I'd love to check you out live, obviously, if you can ever make it to the States, or any festivals. Like I said, there's so many good festivals now.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Like the band is in good shape and it's great to play together, like even more so than it used to be. So we're 10 years is long, but it like I was saying, like we learned from our mistakes in many aspects, so we're ready to deliver, and it's going to be even like more fun for us, I think.
Sure. Oh yeah, absolutely, it will be, no doubt, man, Frank. So yeah, so once again, the band is Luger, the album is Revelations of the Sacred Skull. It's out now on Heavy Psych Sounds Records. And so Frank, man, where should we send the viewers and listeners to grab the record and check out merch and just everything else you got going on and just keep up with the band? Where should we send them to?
Heavy Psych is the place to go, and otherwise our Bandcamp is up and it's probably is stocked up with merch at the moment. I should have looked before you asked me that question. But yeah, we have a bunch of shirts and stuff, and we might still have a few colored vinyl. I don't know if we put those up online yet, but I saw them. I have them in my hands, so nice. They've got to be somewhere. I think we even have CDs. That was the last time you saw that.
Oh, nice. Very cool. I know. Yeah, I'm a vinyl guy myself, but CDs are, you know, they're still selling though. I mean, people still buy them.
We would get asked all the time, and we never made a CD, actually, except this time. And then I didn't even remember that the label was going to provide some for us. And when I saw the box, I was like, oh
nice.
There we go.
There you go.
10 years in the making.
There it is. There it is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Everybody's still driving, you know, like mid 2010s Toyota Corollas and stuff with a CD player.
Yeah, well,
we're ready.
No, yeah, you're right. That's the problem. It's like, I mean, you know, I was collecting CDs until I got a new car, and then I had no more CD player. I'm like, oh shoot, man, what can I mean? I have nothing to play it on now. My computers don't have CD players, you know. But there's, like I said, people still love them, and there's still ways to listen to them. Obviously, you just get those external drives and you're good, you know. But but that's great, man. Yeah, so everyone should go check that out. Check out their website. Go to Heavy Psych Sounds. Check out the merch. And, so, Frank, you know, once again, I appreciate you coming on and talking to us about the record. And, hopefully we'll see you guys on the road, festivals or shows or wherever, here in the States or Europe or wherever. And everyone really needs to see this music, you know, and you guys live, because
absolutely, man.
Yeah, yeah. So appreciate you coming on, Frank. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot to you. Thanks for having us out here. Awesome.